So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew, chapter 11, verse 25. And so we are in week 4 of our series called Practicing Presence. And so this is what we've been talking about in this new year. And my hope for us in this series is that we would discover that the presence of God is not something that we need to work for. It's not something we need to try to achieve or something we need to try to obtain. It's not a secret that you discover or a lifestyle that you live. And then once you live that lifestyle, you all of a sudden have experienced the presence of God. But rather, if you think about it, the presence of God is something that's been given to you if you are in Christ. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Christ came on this earth to dwell among you. And so it is something we don't achieve or obtain, but rather it is something that we have to work towards. We have to steward and work as we have already obtained it. And so in this series, we've been talking about how do we practice the presence of the Lord. And so we talked about practicing the Word. Last week, we talked about practicing prayer. And so today we're going to talk about practicing rest, okay? Now, practicing rest almost seems like an oxymoron because practicing is something that you do and rest is something that you do not do or something that you stop doing. But I do believe that we have to practice rest, especially in the culture that we live in. The idea and the concept of rest is kind of strange. If you think about it, we live in a culture of achievement, and so we are bent towards achieving, and we never want to stop for rest, because if you rest, you might miss out on an opportunity or something that you can't achieve anymore. We also live in a culture that's not just bent on achievement, but also a culture of importance. And so the busier you are, the more important you seem. So when we interact with one another, how do we normally interact with one another? Hey, how is your week? Oh, my week is good. It's just been busy. And what are you doing when you're communicating that? You're communicating, and I'm speaking to myself here, you're communicating that you are important. And the more busier you are, the more important you are, because that means you're communicating and saying, I had all these responsibilities that only I can deal with. That's why my week was so busy. On top of that, we live in a culture, when we think about our families are really stretched thin because we believe the more activities our children are signed up for and the busier they are, the better parents we have become. When we want to provide them with any and every opportunity that's available, expose them to as many experiences, because in our mind, we're thinking to ourselves, well, I want them to have a better life than what I had. So even though I only did one sports because my parents had only time for one sports, I want my kids to be in any and every activity imaginable. And so now we think about our kids being so stretched thin, thinking that we're doing this for their good, and because we don't want them to miss out. And this is the culture we live in, and almost this idea, we believe that rest is for the weak or for the dead. How many of us have even said, even myself, I've said, you know, I can sleep when I'm dead. I can rest when I'm dead. And I want to give you this quote by Adam Marbury. He says this. He says, the busy trap is the self-defeating spiral of nonstop action that feeds on the belief that restfulness is weakness. However, rest is not weakness. Rest is an irreducible ingredient for the life that enjoys the presence of God. Now, before we get in our text, there's two truths I want to talk about when it comes to restlessness. Have you ever wondered why in the Bible the Lord gets so upset when his people do not observe the Sabbath day? Think about in Ezekiel chapter 20, the prophet is going to go after Israel for this very thing. In Ezekiel 20 verse 12, he says, there, God says, I gave them my Sabbath as a sign between me and them that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctify them. Yet Israel refused to rest. And so here's the first truth we learn about restlessness, okay? If you're taking notes, is this. Restlessness forgets God. Restlessness forgets God. Forgetting, if you think about it, it is a restlessness is a refusal to lay down our work so we can open our arms to God. It means when we're so busy, our hands are so full, we don't have time to put down what we're busy with, so there's no room for God in our lives. And here's the reality. Restlessness, having no time for God, has a deadly side effect. Because if you think about it, here's our second truth when it comes to restlessness. Restlessness creates idol worshiping. So when you're too busy for God and you don't have any time for Him, as you're too busy forgetting Him, now it starts to lead into idol worship. Because our hearts are not neutral. So if we don't have time to stop and worship God, our heart eventually is going to turn to something else and worship it. Whether it is the idol of self-importance, the idol of significance, the idol of control, the idol of money, the idol of recognition. And that's exactly what Israel did. By working without the Sabbath rest, the work of their hands became the idol of their hearts. So Ezekiel 20, verse 16 says this, because they rejected my rules and did not walk in my statutes and profaned my Sabbath, for their heart went after idols. And so chances are, if we don't rest and we're in the process of forgetting God, we're after worshiping something else. Now, how do you know what you're worshiping? I think a good question for us at the end we're going to reflect about, if you think about your busy schedule, if you think about the season that you're in and all the things that are going on in your life, and here I'm telling you, hey, you need to rest. What do you get the most anxious about when you think about resting? That is normally reveals to you the idol of your heart. If you think about this and your restlessness, you might be saying, okay, well, I can achieve a lot of good things if I don't rest. I can acquire more money, or my career can be more successful. And you can tend to have a steady chart upwards. But here's the question, at what cost? Sleeplessness, anxiety, overwork, dissolved relationships, a damaged marriage, distant children, a neglected God. And here's the thing about restlessness. It's like trying to fill a bucket with a steady leak. The more you work, the more you're getting drained, the more water's leaking out. But when you stop and rest and you go to the fountain of life, not only does He provide you with a water that will satisfy, but He also heals the vessel that is carrying this water. And so this is where I want us to get into the scripture, because I think this is true for us in this church, especially in the area that we live in. Is anybody overwhelmed in life right now? Is anybody tired and weary and burdensome? I see you, man. is anybody, you know, like you just feel anxious? Like, and just this idea of you having to take off time to rest, like you just feel kind of anxiety, because in your mind saying, well, Neil, that's great. I would love to take time off just to simply rest and spend time with the Lord. But here's the reality. I don't have time. I simply can't afford it. And you're just so overwhelmed with anxiety. If you think about our culture, like one of the new things and that I'm discovering even in our church is anxiety is kind of running rampant. It's not just people outside of our church. It's very people inside of our very church just overwhelmed with anxiety as we feel ourselves stretched thin. And this is kind of what sets the table for us, because this is where Jesus comes and He extends this invitation. And so let's look at this invitation that Jesus extends. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. It says this. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure, all things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal Him. Now, what we see in our text before we get into this invitation, Jesus is in a dialogue with the Father. And really what we're seeing is we really kind of get a glimpse between the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And so in the process of God the Son having a dialogue with God the Father, there's some significant truths that we understand in the relationship between God the Son and God the Father. And so here's the first truth. Look at verse 27. It says this: "All things have been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son." So here's the first truth that we discover about God the Son. If you're taking notes, is this: Jesus alone knows the Father. Jesus alone knows the Father. Now, when Jesus speaks about knowing, he's not talking about knowing information, facts that you know, like you know an acquaintance. But the idea know is that Jesus knows the Father in a very intimate way. It's a kind of knowledge that only the divine Son possesses. And so Jesus' exclusive knowledge to the Father is also closely connected to another important truth. Look at the second part of verse 27. It says this: "And no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son desires to reveal him." So the first truth is Jesus alone knows the Father. The second truth is this: Jesus alone reveals the Father. So not only does Jesus alone knows the Father, Jesus alone reveals the Father. If you think about it, isn't that the reason why Jesus came? Jesus didn't just come to be a word from God, but rather Jesus came to be the Word of God that's made flesh, as he was the one to reveal God to man. And we can only know the Father through the Son, because it's only the Son that knows the Father, and it's only the Son that reveals the Father. And so here's why this is so important, okay? Because Jesus isn't about to extend an invitation. But what makes an invitation such a big deal? What you've been invited to, or who you've been invited from, where that invitation came from? Now think about this. Here's Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the only one that knows God the Father. Jesus, the only one that reveals God the Father. Jesus, the only one that can obey God the Father. The only one that represents the triune God before humanity. He is the one that extends this invitation. And so as we look at this invitation, let's not just focus on the invitation, but let's focus on where this invitation is from, because where is it from? That's what makes this invitation such a big deal. So let's look at this invitation here in verse 28. He says this. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart, and you will find," there's our word again, "rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Like what an incredible invitation from Jesus, the Son of God, the only one that knows the Father, the only one that reveals the Father, the only one that can obey the Father, the triune representative to humanity, extends this invitation. Now here's a question for us as we look at this invitation. Who does Jesus invite? Let's look at verse 28. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. All you who are heavy laden." Now, in the original context of who this invitation originally was extended to, Jesus was speaking to a people who were burdened by the law, by rules, by regulations, and by commandments. You see, many of these laws came from God, but then you had the religious leaders who tried to define the law of God, and by doing that, they extended extra regulation. For example, Jesus says, commanded the people, "I want you to observe the Sabbath. On the seventh day, you need to rest." Okay, so what does that mean? And there here the religious leaders come in and they're saying, okay, well, let's define what this rest looks like. You're on this rest, you're not allowed to work, to walk more than 1,500 feet. But then all these kind of loopholes come and all these questions. Well, what if somebody's in trouble? What if I've reached my limit? Like, I've only walked 1,400 feet and they're 101 feet away from me. Do I go out there and walk? And so these religious leaders took the law of God and added all these regulations and all these extra things to kind of clarify. And what they did in the process, they added such a heavy burden on these people that they were unable to obey the law of God. And without their regulations, they were unable to obey the law. And on top of those regulations, it just kind of completely crushed them. Everybody felt like they were just failing, miserable at life. And Jesus even addresses these Pharisees, these religious leaders, in Matthew 23, verse 4. Jesus says to these religious leaders, you tie up heavy loads that are hard to carry and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to help them. In other words, Jesus is saying to these religious leaders, like, look at all these burdens that you're adding on the people, and you're not doing anything to help them. So Jesus is looking at a crowd of people that are just overwhelmed in life, just crushed by the law, unable to do anything right. And here's my question again. Who does Jesus invite? Does he invite all? No, he doesn't. Who does he invite? Does he invite the religious leaders? Does he invite the righteous, the ones that are nailing it? No. He invites the weary. He invites those that are heavy burdened, those that are overwhelmed, those that are crushed by their moral failures, those that are at their wits and about to give up, those that feel like they'll never measure up to anything, those that are ready to give up, those that are saying, you know what, I can't keep on going like this. I am done. Those are the ones that Jesus invites. Now, in your life group this week, you can discuss more about this. But look at what he invites them to. Look at verse 28. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Verse 29, take up my yoke and learn from me. So what does Jesus invite the heavy, the weary, and the burdened to? He invites to come to him and to come under his yoke. Now, the original people understood the yoke, but we don't really understand the yoke, so I'm going to explain the yoke, okay? Now, the yoke, the imagery of a yoke was a heavy wooden bar that normally would fit around the necks of an ox to be either to plow or to pull a cart. But this yoke can also be with not just one animal, but also two animals can share this yoke. And normally when two animals share the yoke, it's normally a stronger ox that understands and can obey the voice of the master who is leading the weaker ox to learn and look like what it means to obey the master's voice. And so when Jesus is saying, come to you and put on my yoke, he's not saying, hey, take your yoke off and just go dance free willy and enjoy life. But what he is saying is he's inviting you to come in under his yoke as he is carrying the heavy burden, as he knows what it means to obey the Father's voice, so that you can learn from him and obey the Father's voice. And so when Jesus invites us to come in, if you're weary and burdened, to come in under his yoke, this is what he actually means by that, to come to him, to give him all that you have. So if you're taking notes, is this. The first thing, what it means to give him all that we have as we come to him and under his yoke, is that we give him the full weight of our sins. If you think about it, what's crushing you in life right now? The fact that you don't measure up? The fact that you're not good enough? The fact that you're not smart enough, the fact that you're not rich enough, the fact that you don't have enough significance, the fact that you're constantly failing, the fact that you made New Year's resolutions and you say this year is going to be the year for me, only to find yourself next day doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. The fact that everywhere you look, it is just surrounded by destruction. It is this destruction of sin, the heavy weight of sin that just crushes you. And so when Jesus says, come to me, all of you that are being crushed by sin, come under my yoke. He says, take your sin, not some of it, but all of it, and give it over to me. See, these people were so burdened by their failures over and over and their inability to keep the law that they were just crushed by it. Why can't we give Jesus the full weight of our sins? Again, let's be reminded of who extended the invitation. Who is he? Jesus, the Son of God, the one who alone knows the Father, the one who alone reveals the Father, the one who alone can obey the Father, the God that revealed himself to man. Second thing that we give to him is this: we give him our complete and utter inability to obey God. We give him our complete and utter inability to obey God. Think about it. Think about this heavy yoke that is crushing you. Not only is the sin crushing you, but your inability to do what is right that is crushing you. It is the fact you know what you need to do is right, and yet you can't end up doing it. You are unable to obey God. And so when you come to Jesus, when you're weary, when you're burdened, when you're about to give up, you lay down all of your sins in front of him. You lay down your complete and utter, I don't know another descriptive word, inability to obey God as you give that over to him. And this is what I love about the invitation, because the call of this invitation is not a call to try harder. It's not a call to reform your life or to be a better person. It's not a call to a greater moral effort, but it's a call to come to him, a call to give him everything, all of your sins, all of your incompetence, your inability to obey him. And here's the good news. The good news is when we come to him and we give all that we have, all of our sins, all of our complete and utter inability to obey God, and Jesus gives all that he has to us, what do we get? What's that word that we've read? He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will do what? I will give you rest. Come in under my yoke. Learn from me. And you will find rest for what? Rest for your souls. So when we come to Jesus, if you're taking notes, we experience rest. It's almost this relief from this load that is crushing us. Praise God that in Christ we are free from self-effort. Seriously, think about it. Praise God that we don't have to walk out of here and say, you know what, I suck, but I just need to try harder. It can be like, praise the Lord that I suck, but I am in him. I give all my incompetence to him, all of my sin to him. And as I am in him, I can experience rest. I don't no longer have to be crushed by my incompetence, by my moral failures, because he has carried that. But then look at the second thing. If you're taking notes, when we come to Jesus, he gives us his complete ability to obey God. Look at verse 29 again. So as we come to him, because we're heavy and burdened, we give him everything and we experience rest, but he says in verse 29, take up my yoke and learn from me. In other words, come in under my yoke and do what? Learn from me. Now this idea, learn, is the exact same word that is used, called in the Great Commission of making disciples. So not only does Jesus invite you to give all that you have to him, all of your sins, all of your inability to obey him, to experience rest, but he's also inviting you in under his yoke to learn from him. To learn what? To learn to obey the Master's voice. What do we say about Jesus? Who is he that extended the invitation? The only one that knows the Father. The only one that reveals the Father. The only one that can obey the Father. And when we are under this yoke, in his yoke, not only are we experiencing rest for our souls, but we're also learning from him and what it looks like to obey God. Apart from Christ, you cannot obey God. But if you are in Christ, you can obey him. Here's the thing, last quote, and then we'll wrap it up. The gospel simultaneously frees us from the despair of trying to save ourselves through our own effort, while also working to free us from the despair of slavery to our remaining sin. Here's a question I want to ask you, and just to kind of maybe reflect as we wrap it up. Why are you restless? What are you pursuing? What are you trying to accomplish? What are you running from? As you look at your life, you look at the busyness that we're all responsible for, even myself, and we think about rest, and we start to get anxious about our restlessness and that the fact that we have to rest, what are you trying to pursue? What are you trying to accomplish? And I don't know if this is you, but this is me. You know why I have a hard time resting? Because then I got to stop and reflect. And I don't always like to stop and reflect and look in the mirror. I'd rather run from it and pretend it doesn't exist than to rest and stop and look. And yet, Jesus extends this invitation to you. Are you nailing it in life? That invitation is not for you. Are you tired? Are you weary? Are you burdened? Are you about to give up? Do you feel like you can't keep on going? The invitation is for you. How are you going to respond to that invitation? A couple ways we can respond to this invitation. Repent. Confess our sins. We don't have to no longer bear the burdens of our sins anymore as we give it over to him. We can renounce ourselves. We can come like a child to the Father, completely dependent on him. We can rest. Rest in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, what was his last words? He said, "It is finished. The work of God is finished." What more do you need to add to it? It's finished. You can rest in the finished work of Christ. That all of your sins has been paid for, has been covered, has been atoned for. A righteousness that's been given to you. You can just rest in him. And the last response is you can rejoice. Because your rest is not temporary based on your performance. It's eternal based on what Christ has done. I don't know what it's going to look like for you to rest. I don't think it's my job to tell you. My job is to tell you, here's what restlessness does. It forgets God and creates idols. Here's the invitation that is extended to you. Here is where this invitation is from. Here is how I recommend you respond to this invitation. Like a child. Total dependence. Let's pray and let's meditate on some of these questions. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you who you are and what you've done. I thank you that you have sent your Son who's extended this incredible invitation to us. The fact that we can come and we're not deserving of it because we are weary and we're burdened. And the reason why we're weary and burdened is because we are crushed by our very own sin, our inability to be a good person and to obey you, God. And yet you extend that invitation to come,
to come in under your yoke, to give all that we have to you, all of our sins, all of our inabilities to obey you, so that we can experience rest, so that we can learn from you and learn what it means to obey the Father. So God, help us to respond to this invitation. Help us to, in this time right now, just to stop, to rest, to lay down what we have, to look in the mirror, to let you speak to us and respond to this invitation. As we continue to pray, we're just going to take 2 minutes right now and just reflect on some of these questions. Question is, what are you the most anxious about when you think about resting? What are you running from? What are you trying to accomplish? What idols in your heart are you creating? Just think about that for a little bit. The invitation has been made by Jesus, the Son of God, to come to Him, to give up all that you are, all that you have, all of your sins, your inability to obey God, to experience rest, and to learn from Him. How are you going to respond to this invitation? Why don't you use some time right now to respond in your own way? Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill this place, that as we respond to this invitation, through worship and through singing, may you convict our hearts, stir our affections for you. Help us to stop pretending. Help us to come and lay down all that we have and come in under your yoke to experience a wonderful rest and to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand, let us respond.